Well, at the camp, we spoke and thought a great deal about this matter of dying. Dying to the old man, the old way of life. And many people ask for a clearer understanding of this dying. And so I purpose today, by the Lord's grace, to try to define, to explain a little more clearly what this dying means. But I must say at once that when I try to undertake this task, I realize that this is no easy thing to do. Many people also ask me about what is total commitment, which seems to me so simple, and yet for many so complex. What is total commitment? If I commit myself totally to something, I commit myself totally to it. That is, I give myself totally to it. It seems to my mind so simple that I hardly can cope with the question. And yet for some people, it is not so simple. So I'm trying to understand what's the difficulty. If you give yourself in marriage to a person, so my mind is very simple. I give myself totally to the person. My possessions are hers. My person is hers. My life, I live in total consideration of her. That is total. I don't know what else. What is the difficulty to understand? I have difficulty trying to figure out what's the problem. And so if I totally commit myself to the Lord, then all that I have, and by all means all, and this jacket, this tie, this shoes, and everything I got, this Bible too, whatever I have, is all His. My life is His. My time is His. My capacities, my abilities, such as they are, modest as they may be, they are His too. So, what's the difficulty to understand? And yet people still find difficulty to understand. And when it says dying, what's the difficulty with understanding dying? And therefore I say that as soon as I try to undertake this project today to try to explain more clearly the meaning of dying, I immediately run into a difficulty. What is the problem? And yet many times people find it very difficult to understand, and maybe this is where my failing is. Perhaps my failing is that it seems very clear to me, but not very clear to others. What's dying? Dying to sin means I finish with my old way of life. I cut it away completely. Cut off is a term for destruction in the Old Testament. It is cut away. I turn my back on it. Once and for all, it is over. It is finished. It seems to me not so difficult to understand, nor even that difficult to apply. But yet people find it very difficult, and as I take very much to heart what we have seen in Helen's case, and I'm still wondering what else to do to make this any clearer. It may be that something you don't experience, you don't understand. Now, I have tried to illustrate today this matter by sleep, because I was trying to say, okay, let's talk about something we're maybe more familiar than death. Most of us haven't died yet, so death, I mean, in a physical sense, so maybe you have nothing to compare it with. But in the Bible, death is often compared to sleep. The sleep of death is the term in the scripture. Now, if someone asks you to define sleep, you may ask, well, what's the problem? If you have no trouble sleeping, then somebody asks you to say, now, what is it to sleep? Well, you say, well, sleep is sleep. What do you ask me to define? I lie down on the bed, I close my eyes, I take one or two deep breaths, and I sleep. So you see the problem I have. You see, the problem I have is dying is dying. What is the question? And if they ask you, what is sleep? You say, what's your question? My question is, I just lie down, I close my eyes, and 2 minutes, Like Peter Wong was making us all very envious, you see. They go to the tent, you see, and they say they lie down and bang, they're off to sleep. And other people are struggling for half an hour and they're still awake. And if you say, what's the problem with sleep? Well, the problem is that there are some who can't sleep. And when you have finished defining sleep to them, they still can't sleep. So, the point arises is what is the use of the definition of sleep? At the end of it, you still can't sleep. And when you have told them all the techniques of sleeping, they still can't sleep. So that is where you can begin to see my problem. By the grace of God, when it came that he spoke to me and he called me to himself, he said, now take up your cross and finish with the old life, and the life of the body and sin is over. I said, okay, the body, life of the body is sin is over. So I hand over to you. So simple. It's over, it is over. That's it. And he asked me, what is dying? So I'm scratching my head and thinking, well, dying is dying. What are you asking me to tell you? Is it just like if I asked Peter the other day, now what is sleeping? He will look at me and say, sleeping is sleeping. I lie down and I was away in 2 seconds. So, I said, well, maybe for you it's 2 seconds. For me it's not 2 seconds. So what's the difference between you and me? So this is why I'm trying to show you how difficult it is to cope with this particular question. So we can define sleep maybe very scientifically, which wouldn't help us very much in terms of electrical currents moving from this part of the brain to the other part of the brain. And so when you have studied a technical study on sleep, so you know now that the currents move from this part of the brain to the other part of the brain. And so what happens? So you try to move the current from one part of the brain to the other and you're still awake. So it still doesn't work. And so somebody says, okay, well, now try hot milk, you see, because hot milk contains a lot of L-tryptophan, or L-tryptophan, or tryptophan, or however it's pronounced. I don't know. And this is amino acid, you see, it's very rich in this amino acid, so you drink some of this stuff, and then you get a lot of this amino acid, and presto, you're gone, you see. So you gobble down lots of milk until you got indigestion, and then you can't even sleep because you got indigestion. So, it still doesn't work. And so what are you supposed to do? So how do you define sleep? So somebody will tell you, now, you see, how you sleep is very simple. First of all, you have to lie down, since it's rather difficult to sleep standing. Okay, so you lie down. Then you say, okay, now you just close your eyes, you see. Like when I was very tired and I had difficulty sleeping, Helen said to me, it's so easy. You just lie down, close your eyes, relax, and then you're asleep. So I lie down, I close my eyes, and I get wider and wider awake. So I guess I can understand the difficulty that people have, but the problem lies not in the understanding. How do you explain it to them? What do you have to do? Like you're trying to explain sleep to me. I have trouble sleeping, so what do you have to do? Maybe the simplest way is you take a hammer and give me one knock on the head, and then that's the end of it, so I go to sleep, right? But short of that, with all the lectures on sleeping, you should see the books I have on sleeping. Oh yeah, I've been studying the techniques of sleep, the methods of sleep. They don't seem to help me too much. Yeah. It doesn't help much at all. When it comes to sleep, I know a lot about it. In theory, at least. When it comes to doing it, it's another problem. So I'm trying to identify with the people that, you see, what is easy for you is difficult for me, that is, in terms of sleep. But what is easy for me spiritually seems to be difficult for you. So I'm trying to understand it the other way around now, I think. Maybe that's why it was very valuable for me to have problem with sleep, so I can try to understand. But then I still realize it's a difficulty. You see, Helen has no trouble sleeping. Oh, she's a wonderful sleeper. She just goes out and sleeps. And there I am thinking, this is unfair. Huh? I mean, I'm more tired than her, and she can sleep and I can't sleep. And this is not fair. And she tries to explain to me how she can sleep and I can't do it. So now you can see the problem with this matter of dying to self. You see, so in the spiritual case, it was the other way around. Very, very easy for me to explain to her what is dying. She couldn't do it until, by the grace of God, the Lord enabled her to do it lately. But in the other way, I have to learn. See? So finally, I learned the lesson that never worry about this. I'm going to just pray and pray until finally I go off to sleep. Even if it takes 2 hours, 3 hours, never mind. I'm not going to sit here wasting my time. Originally, I used to get up and study, the more. And the result is the more I study, the wider awake I got. To be awake all night. But in prayer, the Lord seems to speak in such a way that when the time is ready, He just allowed me to go off to sleep. Such is His kindness and His mercy. Let us try how to understand this matter. And what is also another matter is this. We see the parallel in this, that those who have died, die to the old body, but die to sin, they have a strength and a vigor, a spiritual strength and a vigor which makes you envious. Just like those of us who have trouble to sleep, we see people with a physical strength and vigor because they got such good sleep, you see? They're very energetic. Huh? The other day, which brother was running down the steps to the lake, shooting down there. Just seeing him run so fast down to the lake already made me tired. Because I was figuring, now how much energy you've got to run down like this? I can't do that. And others, he's not dashing up the steps to the place. Wow. For me, some of you saw me, I was pulling myself up along the time to get up there, so exhausted. And so when you are able to die spiritually, you have the inner power, the inner strength, which others don't have. Just as when you're able to sleep, you have the physical strength that those who cannot sleep don't have. And also those who have died spiritually, they have these wonderful spiritual experiences. They can testify, the Lord did this for me and the Lord did that for me, and you're saying, well, what happened to me? Well, I've never experienced anything that these people are testifying about. The Lord does so many wonderful things for them and nothing ever happens to me. It's just like then on the physical level, those who go to sleep, they wake up and say, oh, I had this beautiful dream. So wonderful. Yeah, and they such a wonderful experience in the dream. And you're saying, I didn't even have a chance to sleep, never mind dream. Yeah. So you see, there is a parallel between this sleeping and this dying. And so I'm hoping that if you can grasp the one, you may help to grasp the other. If you have no trouble sleeping, why do you have trouble dying? If you can use this parable and move this matter across from the one to the other. Now clearly it seems to me that there must be a commitment to sleep. There must be a commitment, isn't it? I'm still in the process of learning about sleep. And I often notice that part of my problem of being unable to sleep is that I'm not really committed to sleeping. I lie down, but my mind is committed to thinking about something else and not committed to sleeping. And so the more I think, the wider awake I get, and soon I sit up and start writing notes. So Helen quite despairs of me because I keep turning on the light to write some more notes. Finally she gives up and thinks that the only way she can get some sleep might be to find somewhere else to sleep. Otherwise she's going to be kept awake all night. So there must be a commitment to sleep. Now the question then is this. I confess, as I examine myself, immediately, it is quite true. I do not have a commitment to sleep. I can't say I really lie down with a true commitment that I'm going to sleep. I'm still committed to thinking about this question and that question. I'm still committed to these matters much more than to sleep. The result is that sleep gets so low priority that I cannot sleep. And I have noticed something very interesting at the camp. Oh, that my commitment to sleep has quite increased at the camp. You see, because I am determined to get to the meeting, I'm not as determined to get to breakfast, you see. Because often I don't eat breakfast anyway, so it doesn't bother me about the breakfast. I hope you don't follow me in this example, although maybe the camp managers will not complain since it's reduced the food budget. But I am not that committed to the breakfast. But I am determined to get to the meeting. So the result is that I know I have to sleep. Otherwise, I'm not going to get up for the meeting. And it's amazing that once I'm really committed to the sleep, I do sleep quite well. I do sleep quite well, provided, of course, that I don't have to do so much counseling that I can't get to bed. But once I can get to the room and get to bed, I find I can, in the summer camp, I can drop off very fast. But when I come to think of it, yeah, because I am more committed to sleeping. So in the same way, those of you who say that you cannot die, or you have difficulty in dying to the old life, I think that the basic problem is that you are not that willing to die. You are not that committed to die. You are not that committed. And I think that if you frankly and honestly examine your heart, you will see that you are not that committed to dying. You think it is important because it's vital to your salvation in some respects, but when you come to count the cost of it, you realize that you're not that willing to do it. And that is the reason that some of you, quite frankly, have mentioned, when asked, why haven't you committed your life to the Lord? Why don't you become a Christian? You are very frank to say, and I always appreciate honesty and frankness, that the cost is too high. You can't face the cost. And therefore, you are not willing to commit yourself to the Lord, of which an important first step is committing yourself to this diet. Because you cannot enter into the new life, as we have so many times stressed, unless the old life has passed. So your difficulty lies not so much in understanding, I'm inclined to think, lies not so much in understanding what the dying is as being truly willing to die, but not only willing. And this is the next step. Sometimes you have a willingness to die, but you are not determined to do so. This determination is very important. I often go to bed and I really feel tired. I do feel tired and I'm quite willing to sleep. I am quite willing to sleep, but not really totally committed to sleeping. I still think there's this to do and that. I know I should sleep and I'm quite willing to sleep, but I have this and that thing to do first. And therefore, I end up not sleeping. I find it very true in my experience. And I find that many of you are saying, yeah, I'm willing. I'm willing to sleep. I see that I don't have this energy. I don't have this power. But there are still this and that things I would like to attend to before the dying. And so many times I lie down in bed. I'm quite willing to sleep. Quite willing, but not altogether willing. Quite willing, but not altogether. It is this where the part is the enemy of the whole, you see, as I mentioned there at the communion, at the baptism. This thing is quite a problem. I can say I'm so tired that I'm quite willing to sleep, but not truly committed to sleeping. This point you must grasp very clearly. You must be truly committed before you are going to experience it. Now this is our part. There's another remarkable parallel of death to sleep lies in this. Is sleep something that you do or something that happens to you? It's quite interesting too. Now if sleep depends solely on something that I do, does it depend solely on something I do or is it something that happens to me? Now those of you who have the experience of sleep find it quite mysterious in this sense, that you really don't do very much apart from just committing yourself to sleep, relaxing, giving yourself over totally, and sleep suddenly comes over you and takes over in your life. It's not something that happens to you. You only do the preliminary step, as it were, and then something happens to you. This thing called sleep, whatever it is that happens. And this applies also in the spiritual life. It is not talking about an act of suicide, even if it be spiritual suicide. It is rather simply that you commit yourself, give yourself over totally, and then this something happens to you, which is called death. It takes over. So that sleep, shall we say that it is something active or is it something passive? I think very few people would define sleep as an activity. It is exactly the opposite of an activity. It is something that happens to you. You are passive. Sleep is active. Or is it passive? Surely it is passive. Yet there must be something that we on our part have to do. Now, there are also problems to the commitment of sleep, just as there are problems to the commitment to dying. We may have this willingness to commit, but at the camp you will notice that you may be very committed to sleeping, but when it's that cold, it's very hard to sleep, simply too cold. And so though you want to sleep, the coldness keeps you awake. Or sometimes, of course, if you come from a hot country, you understand, it's so hot that it's rather hard to sleep. The heat tends to keep you awake as well. Or another thing interferes with your commitment to sleep, the noise. Noise. Oh, yeah. Sometimes we have, opposite my place there, a guy living in the house somewhere across to the other side. Oh, he likes this kind of noise that is called boom, 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 it goes like this. Oh, and I don't know whether you can call that music or not. I frankly, to me, it is noise. Maybe he calls it music. I don't know by what definition this comes under the term music. And there is the screaming and there is the shouting and this consistent, the boom that goes on there, you think. And frankly, that has woken me up so many times. So noisy, noisy. But if you are awake, and that's the end of it, there's no chance, unless you are some fantastic sleeper, there's just no chance you can sleep with this. There's no chance. So I see in here a parable too. Many people want to commit themselves to this dying, but the cold keeps them awake, the cold of rejection. You're afraid your friends are going to reject you. Oh, this makes you feel cold. It might even send shivers down your spine that your family might reject you, your friends reject you. Everybody rejects you. You go to office and the people in the office reject you. Your schoolmates reject you. This is cold. You don't want to be left out in the cold. It's a problem with commitment. And then you settle for some kind of partial commitment, which is nothing but self-deception, as we saw at the camp. Or the heat. In the Bible, heat is compared to persecution. The sun rises up, the heat beats down, it's a persecution. You want to commit yourself to the Lord, but the thought of persecution, privation, problems, difficulties, that scares you. And so you dare not commit yourself to this new way of life, to the finishing of the old way of life. Or the noise, the distractions of the world. Oh yes, you say, okay Lord, I need this sleep, I need this death by which I can have the power from yourself, refreshed to serve you. But the noise, oh, the clamoring of the world. Those of you from Hong Kong are very familiar with noise. Oh, I had to plug my ears up to try and get some sleep. The noise of dogs barking outside, the noise of buildings hammering, pounding down there, the noise of people yelling. They don't seem to talk around there, they seem to prefer yelling. It improves communication when you yell. You can be sure the other guy heard you. And so, the noise. Oh, somebody has tested that Hong Kong is the noisiest city in the world by the sheer decibel count. They just take a noise meter there and register that that's the noisiest city in the world. Hong Kong has a distinction for that. And so, of course, this thing with the stereo earphones thing is very popular these days. Because, I mean, you finally decide that you don't want to hear the noise that is forced upon you. You might as well choose the noise you want to hear. And so you go around with this thing hanging there and the earphones on there and listen to this the whole day. So the noise, the distractions that make sleep so difficult, but the clamoring of the world upon us, demanding our attention. And the flashing light is also rather difficult. I got a hotel once in the hotel. What did I know? The neon sign was just outside the hotel window. Have you tried sleeping with that? Goes on, off, green, red, blue, yellow, green. And some hotels, you know, they give you the curtains so thin, you wonder why they bother to give you curtains at all. Because the light is flashing everywhere, flashing. So you try to turn the other way. The wall is flashing. The ceiling is flashing. Everything is flashing. So I do something, you see. When I travel this time, I bought myself one of these black things that nurses use, you know. And you put it over your eyes, you know, the black thing, the band at the back. And you look like Batman. So if anyone accidentally comes into the room, they thought that somehow Batman has landed, you know. But nowhere else you can sleep. You can't go on with this. This is flashing lights everywhere. So the world clamors for our attention, through our eyes, through our ears, demanding attention. How can you die? Well, Hong Kong must be a very hard place to die spiritually, as well as a hard place to sleep, I can tell you. It's a very hard place to sleep. I try everything, and plug my ears with tissue paper, cover the eyes. I ran out of ideas of how else to sleep, short of being hit on the head. So, Hong Kong, be there in the same way. Material world shouts at you from every corner. Here, Seiko watches, that Toshiba recorder, everywhere flashing, everything flashing at you. Buy this one, you see. Very hard to die. How can you die? How can you sleep? So, in this matter then, we can see a parallel. That it lies, the difficulty lies not so much in the problem of understanding dying, as simply doing it. My problem lies not in understanding sleep, or the nature of sleep, or the technique of sleep, or electrical currents and the like. It lies simply in doing it. And trying to do it amid all the endless distractions that are there, with people banging on their music, with people with all these flashing lights and noises and so on. It's so difficult. The environment, of course, does help, isn't it? I mean, some people notice they can sleep much better at camp makeup because of the air somehow. It induces sleep. And you fight to stay awake and your eyelids are closing and you're fighting to stay awake. So the problem lies not so much to sleep as how to stay awake becomes the main problem there. So that environment has something to do with it. If you come from a church that is very dead spiritually and therefore very alive in the flesh, you can see that if you want to die to the old life, it's going to get very difficult. I mean, the elder is a guy who is worldly and maybe also the pastor and all these people. In that environment, it's very difficult to die. And therefore, you all remain powerless together. Yeah. So the environment helps too. Like you are sleeping in a tent, everybody is snoozing away. I mean, you find that it's rather easy to, maybe not the first night, but you see everybody sleeping, it very encourages you to sleep, you see. And so if everybody is talking and keeping awake and you are trying to sleep, that's very difficult. So the environment is also important. The spiritual environment likewise is very important to whether we spiritually find it easy to die to the old way of life or to live. So that in itself doesn't entirely help, but it is a help. Now, having given you this parable, I hope it helps you to see that basically, like sleep, this dying is a matter of commitment, and it's a commitment not always easily made because of all the distractions, the noises, the heat, the cold that may interfere with our commitment. But it is a commitment that we must nonetheless make. I was in Hong Kong determined I was going to get some sleep, one way or the other. Otherwise, how am I going to survive this circumstance in the first few days?